The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
In case you folks have not noticed, I'm having a little bit of a problem with my voice. That's because I was at the engagement, the community engagement fair yesterday, and I got to tell you something. I passed out about 1,000 pledges, and I was so happy to see some of my friends. I mean, it was amazing, and I was actually shocked at how many fans I had. And a special, special shout out to the organizers of that wonderful event, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it as we move through the show. Well, I have two special guest with me this morning. Joining me on the phone is going to be a woman by the name of Kimberly Koppel from San Francisco, and she'll be giving us a report on what it was like to be at the Women's Parade and March in San Francisco last week on January 21st. I understand when I looked at the paper, I could not believe there was over 100,000 women and men that showed up in San Francisco. Then joining me in the studio is a very special friend. She's a lawyer, an activist. Her name is Alicia Ramon, and she's also a member of our KBBF board of directors here, and she's also the chair, just recently elected, of the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, which provides all members of the public with effective and independent review of complaints against the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, making policy recommendations to improve the responsiveness of the Sheriff's Office to the community, and maintaining continual engagement with members of the public in Sonoma County. And what I'd like to add here is a special blessing to the Andy Lopez family and also to Andy Lopez himself, because it was the shooting of this young boy that helped create this board, which is very important in our community, and we will be talking about it a little bit later. After the National Women's March, people were asking, where do we go from here? Well, I was there. I had a table with the National Organization for Women. Now, as you know, I have just been recently elected as their president, and I was so proud to be there. And I was also there with Women's Spaces, and we had a kind of a little bit of a routine. The people would go over to the NOW and talk to about the organization. Then I'd introduce myself as president, and then I gave everybody a Women's Spaces pledge, which was really amazing. It was a great event. It was a great event, and I want to do a special shout out to Carrie Fugit and Evan Wing. And I got to tell you something, folks, as a retired executive, when I saw that they gave us a floor plan, I was just blown away. It was so easy to find people to go, you know, you knew where the booth was going to be. It looks like it was wall to wall people. And the most riveting thing about the whole thing is how fearful everybody was. You know, everybody is afraid. You know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, you know, folks, you know, fear, you know, one of the things that President Roosevelt said is there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And I finally figured out what that meant. Fear is debilitating. When you're frightened, you can't move forward. We need to move forward. We have to put our fear aside. We have to recognize that fear is a natural feeling. Of course we're fearful. Our country's starting to look a little bit different. We hear some very, very hateful rhetoric coming across the airways and in our newspapers. And of course we're frightened. But the whole point is that we have to put our fear aside, because we know we might be frightened, but we're not powerless. And that's very important to recognize. And I want to do a shout out to the Hub band, who kept going through the whole auditorium, because it just cheered you up. And I was watching how people were hugging, were talking, were crying. I mean, so much was going on in that room. And I said, you know, this is what America looks like. This is what democracy looks like. People coming together saying, I care, I'm concerned, what can I do? And another thing that I was so amazed at, 102 organization showed up. Now, if we subtract two, which is the women's spaces and also the National Organization of Women, now we have 100. 100 organizations were out there. It was just amazing. I went from booth to booth to booth, and I was stunned to see how many organizations are active in our community. And a special shout out to the volunteers at KBBF who tabled. That was very much appreciated. It was really fun. And also Cows Radio. I have to do a shout out for them because they were walking around doing personal interviews. And the idea that they came over to a table with, here I am recording on KBBF, and here another radio station came up and interviewed me. I want to do a shout out because it shows the feeling of community. It's not them, it's not us, it's all of us together. And our public access radio at this particular time is more important than ever. In fact, I want to encourage people not only to support the station, but to become members. You know, when it's very interesting. People were saying, what can I do? What can I do? Why is it important to become a member, say, of the National Organization of Women or KBBF? Okay, let's say there's an issue that comes up, and I have to go in front of the Board of Supervisors, say as the president of NOW or as a programmer here at KBBF. When they see me walk in and they know I have like 1,000 members, or at KBBF we have all these different organizations supporting our station, that gives us a little bit of power. People will listen to us. Because we have voting power, and that's the most important thing to politicians. They want to make sure you get your vote. So it's very important, particularly at this time, that we become members of KBBF. We support programs like Women's Spaces. We become involved in some organization. In fact, if you go on the website, womenspaces.com, we are going to have a listing of all the organizations that were at that event on Sunday. And so you can pick and choose. And also, as I always do, I always reach out to people. If you're having an event or something is happening, email me at Elaine@womenspaces. I'm happy to make an announcement. And another thing I'm trying to do is to help organize community. If you have a birthday or there's a birth or even a death or somebody that you want to acknowledge, please email me and I'm happy to do that. Well, here we are. Oh my goodness, can you hear my voice? But it's an exciting loss of a voice. It really is, you know, and I hope people are not too frustrated with it, but it's an exciting moment to think that I lost my voice from talking to too many people. I mean, you know, you go to events and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for people to come in. Well, today is the last Monday of the month. It's January 30th. January 30th, 2017. Where'd the month go? I mean, if this is any example of what the year's going to be gone, I'm already in 2018. Anyway, today's the last Monday of the month, and we do the Women's Spaces Pledge. I couldn't believe it, folks, how many Women's Spaces Pledges I gave out. I mean, a whole box of 500 was empty, plus whatever else I had. So it's just amazing. So we're going to do the pledge this morning, and I invite my people in the studio. I have Ken here, and we have Alicia Ramon, our board member. Let's do the pledge together. And remember, the idea of the pledge is not to make you feel that you're better than anybody else, but the idea is to give women the confidence to stand up and allow their voice to be heard. And that takes self-confidence. That takes the ability to speak out and to know that what you have to say is worthwhile. So let's do the pledge together. I'm going to say it, and then you repeat after me. And if you're driving in a car, don't close your eyes. Just pay attention to what we're saying and repeat after me, and then I'll go through it one time on my own. So let's go with the Women's Spaces Pledge. My self-esteem
does not depend on anything outside of me.
My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Wow. I love when I hear that because, you know, even though I do it over the radio, you wouldn't believe it, but I do this sometimes 4, 5, 6 times a day. You know, when you're kind of a public figure or you're out there doing some of the stuff I do, it's amazing how you can be attacked or you can be, you know, challenged. And when you know that your self-esteem is intact, you just calmly answer questions. You don't have to get excited. You don't have to feel bad about yourself. So I'm going to say it one time through. And also, if you go on womenspaces.com, You'll see the pledge there. You can make a copy of it. Or if you email me at Elaine@womenspaces.com, I'm happy to send you a little pledge to you. So I'm going to repeat it. Just listen to it. Take it in. Absorb it. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. I just love that. And I got to share one more bit of information about what happened at the engagement fair. It was so exciting to have groups of women coming and saying the pledge with me. In fact, some of the fans came up and they made a request. They said, "I heard you do the pledge with people. Would you do it with me?" And I was so honored. So a special shout out to all the organizations that were there and all those folks that came and visited us over at the Now booth and also Women's Spaces. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now. And the song I will be playing is The Great March. In fact, you know, Ken, before we do that, I'm wondering if we should play Please Peace before we put Alicia Ramone on, because I'm doing a little switch here. What do you think? You want to play Peace? Why don't we go and play Please Peace with that sung by Linda Farrow. And the reason that I am playing this song and why this song is so important to me, because women are out there. Women are out there marching. Women are out there saying enough is enough. We want our children taken care of. And what are we asking for? We're asking for peace. Can you imagine the billions that we are wasting on war if we actually spend it on peace activities? Like healthcare, education, you know, helping people coming in from other countries that are war-torn, being able to donate more to other countries. I mean, there's so many things we can do with that $1 billion that we're just throwing into what? I don't know. I always ask myself, are we a nation of life that supports life? Are we a nation that supports death? You know, especially they had a pro-life march in Washington, D.C., which I thought was very interesting. I watched the march and I listened to those people. I did not see one sign that was against war. I did not see one sign that wanted health care for the children. So I asked these people, what happens when the fetus is born? I mean, you can't just throw it out. You have to take care of human beings, and that's very important. So I am pro-life. I am not pro-death. I'm pro-life. And in order to sustain life, we have to have clean water, a clean environment, good education, good health care, good food, on and on and on. So I would be very appreciative if anybody would send me an email and explain that to me. How can you be pro-life and not be for all these other things? I don't understand it. And I'm open to trying to understand it. So please email me at Elaine@womenspaces.com. And now we're going to hear this wonderful song called Please Peace by a dear, dear friend of mine, Linda Farrow. And when we come back, we will be talking with lawyer, activist, board member, Alicia Ramone. Here we go with Please Peace by Linda Farrow.
What were you thinking? What did you think we'd do? Stay small, stay silent, I think more like you. Go ahead and try to sleep tonight, we will stay awake. We will keep watching for our children's sake. And the lullaby we'll sing is please, please, please. If you wake and listen, you will hear a mighty cry. And we'll keep on singing, keep on, till the day we die. You will hear a mighty cry. You will hear it. You will hear a mighty cry. You will hear it.
You will hear a mighty cry. And man, we heard a mighty cry. 750,000 people marching in Los Angeles on January 21st. 100,000 marching in San Francisco. Millions marching in Washington, D.C. Right here in Santa Rosa, California, the biggest march we've ever had, estimated by the police department at over 5,000, by the organizers around 7,000. So we heard a mighty cry. And that mighty cry is, we want peace on this planet. We want our children to have a future. Well, for those of you just tuning in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBF. KBBF, its board of directors, members, or women's spaces. Boy, I sure hear, you can hear the frog in my throat here, but we're going on. We're continuing. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces. I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I would like to introduce my guest with me, Alicia Ramon. Good morning, Alicia, and welcome to Women's Spaces.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled, let me tell you. And I want to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Alicia Ramon just happens to be on our KBBF board, and I want to thank her from the bottom of my heart for joining the board and for serving. You know, we've been looking for some good board members for a long time, and it's wonderful to have you and also my dear friend Lisa Maldonado on there, so congratulations.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Well, Alicia was born and raised in Santa Rosa. She graduated from Pioneer High School in 1996, and she obtained a law enforcement associate arts degree and an AS degree from Santa Rosa Junior College. She also obtained her bachelor degree from the California State University of Sacramento and a Juris Doctorate degree from Empire College. Very, very, very proud. That's wonderful to hear all this wonderful thing that you did, Alicia. Thank Alicia you. Is an attorney in Santa Rosa focusing on tenant rights, civil rights, and personal injury matters. She is also on the board of KBBF bilingual radio station and recently has been elected chair for the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach. How do you pronounce
that? So that's the community advisory council.
It's called the community advisory council. Yeah. Okay. And let me ask you something. How do you pronounce that?
Iolero.
Iolero.
Yeah.
Alicia frequently volunteers doing educational Know Your Rights training for people dealing with law enforcement. She also has several years too. She observed police activity, and I think that's what makes you so important on this community advisory board. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yes.
And she's also, you're doing some things with the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Department. Do you want to talk a little bit about that before I explain or even mention it?
Right. So I have a lawsuit against the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office as well as the Santa Rosa Police Department. And it deals with the impoundment and seizure of vehicles under the Fourth Amendment.
So they're still doing that?
Yes.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. It's been over 5 years, and it used to be that they took about 60 vehicles a month, and now they're down to, I believe, like 5 vehicles. So,
You're improving.
Yes, absolutely.
But 5 years, I remember when it became a project for the North Bay Organizing Project, you know. And so all that time, you finally got it down to five vehicles.
Right. And the majority, I believe, are for those that have suspended licenses. And for those, I was never really advocating for those people that were able to obtain their licenses, but because they have multiple DUIs, a reckless driving, those people, I didn't care to help. It was a people that were unable to obtain driver's licenses because our laws here in California prohibited them if they didn't have documentation, immigration status, to get a driver's license. Now under the SB 60, they're able to obtain a driver's license, but it's still a problem because a lot of people are afraid to go and get their driver's license, tell the DMV, I don't have my documentation.
Well, rightfully so. I mean, look what's happening. These young people from DACA, they all registered, and now they're all threatened. I mean, it's really... Well, you know, let's go back a little bit, Alicia. Tell us a little bit, you know, you're a young woman. What motivated you to go from what you were doing, say, in high school and going to the junior college and then deciding to go to get a law degree? What was your motivation, and what were some of your thoughts at that time?
At the time, I wanted to go into law enforcement, and I didn't know exactly, probably in probation or something like that. And somebody had asked me while I was in the middle of my law enforcement program at the JC, why do you want to go into law enforcement? And I said, because I like to help people. And they said, how will you help people that way? And I said, that's a good question. So at that point, I reconsidered. I went into the Career Center. And I did some program on the computer. It tells you what your interests are. And one of the other ones, besides an attorney, was a teacher. And for some reason, I just chose the attorney. And I said, that's what I'll do.
Well, and also you're teaching, because you're teaching people
yes.
about their rights. And
yes.
Talk a little bit about that. Why do you think that's important, particularly in our county, that people know their rights?
I think that it's important for everyone to know their rights, and this is what I do in the Know Your Rights training. For example, I say you have a First Amendment right to speak out. You have a First Amendment right, like my nephew will ask me, do I have the right to call the police a pig? And I said, absolutely you do, but is it the right thing to do? Absolutely not. So I definitely tell them, these are your rights, this is reality.
Use discretion.
Right. Just because you have the right to call the police pigs or whatever, it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to disrespect the police or anyone else for that matter. But under the First Amendment, you do have that right. Don't use it.
So to use discrimination again, to start, you know, using, say, what is going to promote peace? What is going to promote peace? People coming together and talking, to start thinking about it. But at the same time, if all of a sudden you slip, you know, and you, because of your anger or whatever it is, you still have that right to do that. But you're suggesting not to use it.
Right. And so when I do the Know Your Rights training, that's what I do. I say, do not. You do have this right. You can yell out profanities all you want, but do not do it. You will get slapped up by the police, you will get beat up, and nobody will care, no one will have sympathy for you, because they will see the body-worn cameras recording you bad-mouthing the police. Don't do it.
Oh, well, that's another good point, you know, because we do have the cameras, and when you're doing something like that, you are creating an image, if you were to get arrested, that could be used against you. So
absolutely.
Again, you have to use, you're talking about using discrimination, which oftentimes, you know, I think it's important that people understand that. One of the things I used to tell my grandson, I says, you can do anything you want, as long as you're willing to accept the worst circumstance. If you're not willing to accept the worst circumstances, like calling the officer a name could get you arrested, if you're not willing to accept the worst circumstance, don't do it. So that's another way to think about it. Well, Alicia, talk a little bit about how did you, you know, you decided to do law. What made you decide to go into this area, this focus? Why was that so important to you?
Well, at the time, I had been working at a law office where they did tenant rights. Edie Sussman, you may know, here in town, and Donald Ziskin, I used to work for them, and they did tenant rights, and they were pretty much my mentors. And so that's how I got involved with helping people. And like I said, that's the whole reason why I wanted to go to law school, was to be able to help people. And for me, the rich have enough money. They can buy as many attorneys as they want. The poor, they are unable to have access to attorneys. So that's why I believe it's important to help out not only those people that can't afford it, but because they don't have the resources.
Well, you know, it sounds like one of your decisions was made through compassion and empathy and also understanding some of the issues that people were going through.
Yes.
And it became important to you. Well, you know, that's a great motivator. You know, sometimes people ask me, you know, why do you do women's spaces? I just want to help people. I just want to help people raise their self-esteem and to understand some of the issues. And it's another way. And your way is in all these different ways. If all of us just thought like that, just think what a beautiful, beautiful world it would be. Well, you know, one of the things that is very dear to my heart is the fact that you're on this community advisory board, which is, I call it the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach. And why is it dear to my heart? Because I was so involved with the Andy Lopez. That's how we met, actually.
Yes.
As I showed up at meeting after meeting after meeting. So this was very important to me because we pushed so hard for this. I cannot believe how many meetings I went to in that 2 or 3 year period before this organization was developed.
You really showed up there. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. My God. It was crazy. It really was. And it was frightening. Because you were objecting to what the police department was doing, you know.
Yes.
In fact, I had one of the officers walk up to me and say, "You're pretty outspoken." And at one time, somebody walked up to me and told me where I lived. And I thought, oh my goodness, what are they trying to do, intimidate me? So there was a lot of emotion that went in and a lot of community input about getting this program together. So talk a little bit about it. What do they do? What are some of the goals? And what attracted you to actually become part of it? Because you had to apply in order to get onto this board.
Right. So I applied, and I didn't think that I would get on it, but...
Why didn't you think you'd get on it?
Well, because I do the Know Your Rights training, and I do Cop Watch, and I have lawsuits against the sheriff's office. I just thought that they just thought that I would be unreasonable, and I don't consider myself unreasonable at all. But
that's, you like the law.
Yes. You know, the same as what police request, people, you know, don't break the law. The same we request of the police, do not break the law. And that's all we're asking. And I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to ask.
You know, there's a saying, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's exactly what you're saying. You know, we're all a community. And yes, that's all we're trying to do, is to make sure our community is safe and productive. So go ahead, continue.
Yes, so when I got chosen, I was really excited. And then we had our first meeting in December 2016. And I was not thinking of being chairwoman. I didn't know what it was to be a chairwoman. And somebody nominated me, and I said, okay. And I got picked to be chairwoman. And it's been fun being the chairwoman there. A lot of learning. You have to really plan ahead of the meetings. You have to be on top of everything. No sleeping at the meeting.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. One of the things that happened, I can relate to that totally, because when they asked me to be president of the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter, as many times as I've been asked to do something like that, I always said no, because I didn't want the responsibility. And when I took it on and I realized you have to show up, you have to be awake. You have to make sure all the you know, you're the one that's responsible.
Yes.
So it's very, very. So what is one or two of the challenges that you've met so far as chairperson and also just being a member of this group?
So I didn't know what Robert's Rules of Order were. And I had to quickly learn what Robert's Rules of Orders were and the Brown Act and, you know, everything else that goes along with meeting etiquette.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Just talk about the Brown Act really quickly. I want my listeners to know that on March 22nd, we're having a special event here. We're going to have the three women supervisors here, and they're going to talk about what it's like to be a woman in politics. Yeah. But what I found out is if the three of them show up, it could be considered a quorum. So I had to work with county council to make sure that I just keep them on focus and I keep them talking about what it's like to be a woman in politics, what are some of their challenges, but they can't talk about anything that was on an agenda or any issues. And I agreed because I want them to come out and meet the community, but I recognize how stringent. You know, and I was also on the Human Rights Commission, so I understand that Brown Act. So I just wanted to support you on that.
So that was a big learning curve for me, to learn about all the meetings. And I'm not a meeting person at all. But so those were my challenges. I think that everything else, as far as making policy recommendations to the director, Jerry Threat.
What's he like to work with?
Great. He is understanding. He's very on top of everything. He does his homework very well. And, yes, he's on top of everything.
Well, you know, I have to say something, Alicia. I was at a meeting. We were at a meeting one time, and I think Jerry Threat came in, and you were involved in the meeting. And I have to say, I was very impressed with the questions that you asked and the things that you brought forward. So I'm really very happy, to be honest with you, because I was so involved, that to see someone like yourself, and with your compassion and your empathy and your understanding, to be on something like this. So I want to thank you for your service.
Thank you. So one of the main things that you asked about the Community Advisory Council is we're trying to bring the community together, conduct outreach to ask the community, what is it that you would like to see changed at the sheriff's office? What policies do you believe need to be changed? The first issue that came up was the immigration. Everyone came to the meeting thinking, oh, we're going to talk about use of force because this came out of the Andy Lopez incident. So everyone was talking about, okay, our first thing on the agenda is going to be use of force. But it ended up being the immigration issue because it so happened, you know, the election happened, the Donald Trump, and then our meeting. And everyone said, no, we need to know what the sheriff's office policies are on immigration. And the policies are that he will cooperate with ICE, whatever they request. So someone mentioned at the community engagement fair yesterday, oh, I looked it up, and it said that the sheriff's office was, or Santa Rosa, Sonoma County was a sanctuary. And I said, no, we're not. We are not. So those are one of the things that we want to look at. Another thing that I want to look at is the body-worn camera issue. And when they turn on the camera, when they turn off the camera, when they're released to the public. And the next after that is the use of force, I believe. I think first we must look at the next issue is the body-worn camera, because that's the evidence, that's a proof, that's a third party there that's going to be looking out. If there's only the police officer or the deputy there and the other person, and it's he said, she said, then the camera will tell the story.
So it sounds like one of the main functions the group is to make sure that the sheriff's department remains accountable and also adheres to what they're saying and what they're doing to make sure the evidence and things. Because I'm looking at the mission here. So the mission statement of I call it the independent office, and you call it the
IALERO. Say it so many times. Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach.
So it says to provide all members of the public with effective and independent review of the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office by conducting unbiased and thorough audits of sheriff's office investigations. Make policy recommendations. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that is Jerry Threat's job. So Jerry Threat looks at the complaints that come in for deputy abuses, ranging from anything bad-mouthing deputies to excessive use of force.
Yeah, so but the good news, no matter which way it goes, the good news is that you're there. That people have a place to go to.
Yes.
They have a place to go to. And then the last one, community engage with members of the public in Sonoma County, which, of course, now immigration is an issue. They're going to come. They have a place to go. So talk about just a little bit is when do you meet and how does the public get engaged? Do you have public comment? What is the process of your meeting? And also there's a it won't happen here declaration that's going around that people are going to sign. How is that going to affect this committee? I mean, is this something they're going to work on also, or is this just separate?
On the it won't happen here statement, the Community Advisory Council to the IOLERO has signed on to it. So that was one of the first things we did was sign on to the It Won't Happen Here statement. Support it.
Oh, yeah. so that's another step?
Yeah, we've already done that. Yeah, that was one of like the first things we did.
Well, so. let's do a shout out for citizen involvement. I mean, that's amazing because, you know, this is a very important document. I'm amazed.
It is. It really is. And it was in the Press Democrat. Susan Lamont did a piece on Sunday.
You know, I got to say something about that. That was a breakthrough.
Yes.
The fact that they printed it and the fact that they put it in on Sunday, I have to do a shout out. You know, I have to do a shout out for the Press Democrat, and I have to say thank you, Catherine Barnett, because she's the head editor. She had to approve it, and I want to thank the staff. I mean, it was just a wonderful article and also very supportive of the people. Well, go ahead.
So the Community Advisory Council meets at the Sonoma County Permit Resource Management Department on Ventura Avenue the first Monday of every month at 5:30. p.m. and we welcome public comment there at the beginning of our meetings. We also go out to do outreach. We've been to the Grant Day Labor Center. We've been to Sonoma Alvarado School. I was at the community engagement fair yesterday as well, shouting at everyone because you couldn't hear anything.
It was amazing. Wall to wall people.
Yes. So we've been, and we want to reach out to as many people as we can, small groups, large groups, whatever. So please contact us. There's also a website. I don't have the full name right now.
Well, what I'll do is I'll post the website on Women's Spaces, and people can see it. And I'm sorry that I don't have, let me see, I'm sorry I don't have that information with me. Well, Alicia, we are coming to the end of this segment. Are there any last things that you would like to tell folks? And also, is there any way they can get a hold of you or any questions that they might have about the committee?
Yes, my information is also on the IOLERO website, and we definitely want to hear from people. The sheriff's office, it's in the past, have said, oh, well, we don't hear anything. Everyone's happy with us because we don't hear any complaints. We have no complaints. Nobody tells us anything about this. So that's why we need the community to come out, tell us what, whether you work with youth, whether you work with the homeless people, mentally ill people, all these policies are policies that need to be looked at, I believe, to make sure that they are adequate and they're not, you know, being violative of people's rights or people feel that they can come and be part of the process.
Well, I know from this interview it would be very comfortable talking with you, and I want to thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and thank you so much for doing all the work you do.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been an actual pleasure. And again, thank you for being on the KBBF board. I mean, it's so important. You know, here we are public access here in Sonoma County. It's very important. So thank you so much, Alicia Ramon. Well, wow. So much going on in our community. So many wonderful people that are volunteering and doing some of the jobs that they are doing. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now, and I'm going to play, you know, this song is a very interesting song. It's called The Great March, and it's all about the marches that were going on during the Vietnam War, but I thought this would be an appropriate song to play. And when we come back, once we get her on the phone, we're going to be talking to Kimberly Comple, and she's going to be talking about giving us a report on the Women's March that happened in San Francisco on January 21st. So let's go hear The Great March, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Kimberly Comple.
Ancient eyes are watching in the night. The stars come out to guide the way. The sun still shines despite the clouds. And the dawn is dusk, is dawn, is dusk, is day. Farmers rise and dream to feed the world. The world. while a thousand flags are waving, and the farmer sees a dream has played a part. We will have peace. We will, because we must. We must, because we cherish life. And believe it or not, as daring as it may seem, it's not an empty dream to walk in a powerful path. Neither the first nor the last great peace march. Life is a great and mighty march, forever for love and for life on the great peace march. Are you black like night or red like clay? Are you gold like sun or brown like earth? Gray like mist or white like moon? My love for you is the reason for my birth. Peace can start with just one heart. From a small step to leaps and bounds. Comes a race for time, and a brave child calls out from the crowd. We will have peace. We will, because we must. We must, because we cherish life. And believe it or not, as daring as it may seem, it is not an empty dream to walk in a powerful path. Neither the first nor the last great peace march. Life is a great and mighty march, forever for love and for life on the great peace march. Forever for love and for life, I'm on the great peace march.
Oh, my goodness, I just found that song, The Great Peace March by Holly Near. I mean, it is amazing. I want to just give you this line. Life is great and mighty march, forever for love and for life on the Great Peace March. Anyway, I just love that song. Amazing. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And as you can tell, my voice is a little bit raggedy this morning because I was at the community engagement fair and talked to maybe 600-700 people yesterday. So my voice is really getting out. And on the phone with me, I have a daughter of a dear friend of mine, Kimberly Comble, who attended the Women's March in San Francisco. Kimberly, thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I have to tell my listeners a little bit of gossip here. Kimberly is the daughter of a dear friend of mine, Debbie Manger, who owns Coffee Caps up in Sebastopol. So welcome once again. You know, let me tell my viewers just a little bit about you. You sent me your bio. Thank you so much. What a wonderful bio you have. You were born here in California. You lived in Minnesota for 8 years. And right now you are a planner. Talk about a little bit what you do, Kimberly. You're a planner, and what else is it that you are involved in?
Well, from a professional point of view, I've been a city planner for probably about 15 years now, and have kind of through my career really started to focus on the connection between transportation and land use, and have been involved in transit planning. And one of my passions is really trying to create places that make people feel good when they're in them, and we kind of know it when we're there, and you feel it when you're not, but you're not exactly sure why, and a lot of it's related to physical design. So that's what I do professionally. And I would say, you know, in general, my passions are really about people and how we relate to each other and how we relate to our environment, that being the physical and also the earth in general. And I'm very involved with trying to make sure that we're, as humans, respecting our place in the world.
Well, it's what's also that's very interesting that you say that, because right now, I mean, with the new president coming in saying that he's going to disband the EPA, I mean, that's just amazing to me. But also, you're married, you have two sons, Jack and Leo, teenagers. Boy, that must keep your life pretty active. And then you have a husband who also happens to be a German citizen living in the USA with a green card. So how is your concerns about what's going on right now with immigration? I mean, having something like this even in your life, and you've been married to this gentleman for 16 years.
Yeah, I will say that President Trump's policies that he's been able to talk about and what he's trying to do impact me in several ways. The number one thing, and one of the main motivations for my participation in the march, is that I do have two young sons. And to have to tell them that they cannot act like or say things like what our president does is a very difficult message for me to deliver. I believe the words he uses, I believe the way he bullies people, calls people names, the way he's talked about women. This is not something that we want young men to grow up hearing or thinking is okay. The fact that a segment of our population was able to dismiss that and elect someone to the highest office in our land, even though they do this, is a very tough message for me to deliver as a mother. On top of that, the immigration policies are frightening for us as a family, and the fact that if we were to leave and go on a trip to Germany, is there some way that because he's not a citizen, they would stop him from coming back? We don't know. Right now it doesn't seem like it, but it's a fact that could happen. But really what the German connection means to our family is that we lived in Germany for 4 years, and I know what it's like to be in a culture that suffered from division and people being singled out for religion, and what that it still leaves a lasting impact on that culture and that society. And I really, really hope that this movement that we're seeing right now is going to help make it that America doesn't fall into that same trap.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, I was brought up Jewish, and in about 4 or 5 years ago, my husband and I went on a trip to Germany. We went to visit some of his relatives, and it was really daunting for me, even the idea of going to Germany, you know, knowing my father was born in Poland and knowing some of the things that had happened there. But once I got there and I met the people and I heard some of the stories, I was just amazed. And also what they did, that there was a monument that was dedicated to the Jews that were annihilated out of the town that we're in. It was called Mention Godblock. I never pronounce it right, but they did this monument, and it was riveting to me to think that a government could actually come into a city or a place and actually wipe out a whole population just because of their religion. I mean, that was daunting to me. And then also to find out that there were people, gypsies and developmentally disabled people, that also suffered that consequence. And I think in the United States, you know, we need to be a little bit more aware about how dangerous it is when you start having the other and doing some of the things that we are doing. So I wanted you to know, Kimberly, I appreciate you bringing in that piece. I had no idea when I got your bio and I saw this, I thought, oh my goodness, no wonder she was at the parade. So let's talk about the march. What like, I understand what motivated you to be there, but tell us a little bit, can you describe it? What was it like being there? And how many, I looked on the internet and they predicted there was over 100,000 people in San Francisco. So talk a little bit about what it was like for you, and what were some of the experiences you had when you were marching?
Well, I have never had an experience like this before. I have been to meetings and gatherings, but never a protest action, if you will. And so I was nervous. I didn't know what to expect, really. I didn't know if there was going to be a lot of people that are very, you know, aggressive or very boisterous. And so when we first got there, I went there with my sister, Kelly, and she and I came off the BART train, and the station at Civic Center was already just packed, and packed of all kinds of people, all colors, all genders, all ages, and lots of them wearing the pink hats or just pink in general, lots with signs, and automatically you just felt a part of something bigger than you. And that was the most amazing feeling that I had through the whole experience. And then once we got out onto the Civic Center Plaza and heard some of the speakers and you see the signs, and there was no yelling, no pushing, no, it was people coming together in a feeling of positivity, trying to make a difference, trying to be, have our voices be heard and be counted, that, that this president and his policies do not reflect what we believe to be the better America that we know of and that we're a part of. I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful experience to be around people who feel that way and who want to make a difference in a positive way.
Well, you know, as I was listening to you talking, I was thinking, well, first of all, my family, you know, we come from Poland and from Russia. And I remember my grandmother telling me that the highlight of the whole journey was when they came into the harbor, and I could cry just thinking about it, to be honest with you, when they came in the harbor and saw the Statue of Liberty. I mean, they were coming from places where people were actually shooting children and putting them on the streets and saying, get out, you know. And so when you have that kind of experience in your life and your grandmother tells you the story and then you read what the Statue of Liberty says, in fact, I think next on my next show I'm going to bring it in and read it, where it says, give me your poor, your humble, you know, all these different, and the fact that France gave it to us as a gift because we were a pillar of freedom, and all of a sudden to see this happen, it's really very sad. And, you know, back to what you said about being a peaceful demonstration and marches. The same thing happened here in Santa Rosa. When I read the police report, they said there was absolutely no incidents. And there were no incidents in San Francisco either. So you found it to be peaceful. Is any of the speakers that were there that really stand out in your mind?
Well, you know, I think that there, I can't think of any of them by name, and we couldn't see the speakers, but we could hear them pretty well, and there was a wide range of stories. I would say, like, some people asked me, what was the main issue? What do you think people were really there for? And I think based on the signs, people there for, there were some anti-Trump signs, there were, you know, specific kind of negative, I would say, leaning signs, but a lot of people were there saying, you know, women's rights or human rights, and a lot about civil right protection in general. And a lot of the stories were immigrant stories, because San Francisco is a port and we do have a strong immigrant history, as does the whole country. And so there was a lot of, and it's very similar stories to what you're saying about how families have come over and how hard it was and what they were escaping, and that now they are proud Americans. And that is what this is all about, is that we should not be treating these people with fear. I mean, we have it within our own semi-recent history of when we interned people during World War II that were from Japanese descent. It is something I don't believe this country is, that we look back on that as the right thing to do. And we have to be very, very careful that we're all keeping our eyes open to what's happening, so that we don't let something like that happen again, because as we've seen in history, it's very easy to create the other, as you said, and say, as long as it doesn't impact me, it's okay, and it's not.
And what's so interesting, another thing that it was interesting about going back to Germany with Ken that I found fascinating was talking to women, because after when the war ended, you know, Berlin was annihilated. I mean, they just bombed it from, they brought it down to rubble, and it was the women who had supported the regime, actually, and it was the women who ended up having to suffer and clean up all the rubble and stuff the first several years after the war. So people have to think about not only what's happening today, but what could be the consequences if, God forbid, something that horrendous happened in our country. You know, we have to really start thinking, you know, peace is something we need so we can move forward as a human race. Well, one of the things, before we end this segment, one of the things that you said that was very interesting to me at the beginning of this conversation, Kimberly, was this was your first time. This was your first time to go to something this big and this massive. What would you tell a person out there who maybe said, I wanted to go, but I couldn't go? What kind of advice would you give them that could help them to participate more in some of the activities that are happening in the country?
Well, I actually heard a really interesting conversation on another radio show yesterday that my advice would really be, maybe that isn't your role. I think what we should be doing is looking what we each can bring to the situation, and maybe your ability to write is what's really going to help get the word out, or your ability to talk. Maybe you live in an area where you have friends that believe differently or have different views, and can you engage them in an exchange of ideas? I mean, there's lots of people that I know that did not participate in the march because of fear of crowds or because they don't want to be in a situation where there might be trouble, and I think all of that's understandable, and I think not everyone has to. I think for those of us like myself who felt like I wanted to be counted, I wanted to be a part of something bigger than me, it was really important. And I would say, if you want to do the next one, go. Like I said, everybody was there. You don't have to be a certain kind of person. Anybody was welcome. There were older men, young children, everybody. Everybody was there. So feel free, feel welcomed. Be connected in the way that you feel most comfortable. I think there's room for all of us, and there's enough to do.
Well, Kimberly Campo, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces. You've been an absolutely wonderful guest. Any last things you'd like to say before we say goodbye?
I just want to encourage everybody to really just try and reach out to people with a sympathetic way of being, I'm here, I'm open, and I want to talk to you. And I hope that that's what's going to get us all through. I'm hoping Gloria Steinem in her speech at the Women's March in Washington said, this is the upside to the downside. And I'm really hoping that that's what we're seeing, that this will galvanize people to come together instead of further divided.
Well, thank you. I could not have said it any better, Kimberly. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and keep up the good work, and blessings to you. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
My blessing. Well, folks, that's it for our show. A special thank you to Kimberly Campo for giving us an overview of the Women's March in San Francisco, and to Alicia Ramon, who's an activist, lawyer, our KBBF board member, and chair of the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach. A reminder, tell your friends Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. on Monday evenings. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. Also, I am available for speaking engagements. And if you have any announcements like a birthday, a birth, you know, anything that you feel, you know, somebody got an award, you know, a woman out there got an award or some, whatever is happening out there, just email me at Elaine@Women's Spaces, and I'm more than happy to do a shout out for them. Remember, our children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. And, you know, I really resonated when Kimberly at the end of the interview said, find your place. Some people are writers. Some people are marchers. Some people are telephoners. You know, volunteer. Become part of the community. Become part of the solution. It does no good to keep complaining about the problem, but if we become part of the solution, it makes life a lot easier. Well, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You have been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time. I also want to do, again, a shout-out for all the organizers for the Community Engagement Fair that happened this Sunday. It was a marvelous, marvelous event. Anyway, again, I say, this is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
She can wait. So easily, she knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.